From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome to this Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palmer, Neil McCready coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio. Clarence Ledger sports editor Hugh Kellenberger will stop by here in a little bit and join us. Ole Miss Media Day today for the football season. 3 o'clock, I believe, is Matt Luke's press conference. We will get some coaches and players after that. So stay with rebelgrove.com. A lot on the message board today at rebelgrove.com. So again, if you have not subscribed, now would be a good time. Everything coming up, the football season, the search for a head coach, and more. So check those things out at rebelgrove.com. I've been telling you about, you know, ribs and lunch specials for a long time, but we've got daiquiri machines now inside the Oxford Exxon. You stop by today, you get hurricane, strawberry, grape, margarita, watermelon, or peach daiquiri flavors in Oxford. I mean, really, we're just a drive through away from being Louisiana, Neil.
I've never felt closer to home.
Gas station daiquiris is the...
I grew up in Ruston, 5 minutes from Grambling, and Ruston was dry because, well, Ruston was dry, but
very Amory, right?
It was. Okay. I think we've
still fighting the good fight in Monroe County, but not the county, the town.
I think in Lincoln Parish they have in Ruston, I should say, they have surrendered and have gone ahead and accepted the fact that the centuries did advance.
Okay.
And but you could always go to Grambling
and get your daiquiri.
And get a daiquiri. One of those big.
How far is Grambling from Ruston?
5 miles.
So you just drove the same distance you would have if you driven to a gas station in Ruston, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it wasn't like some trek or some journey, I guess.
No, it was 5 miles.
Okay.
Hopped on I-20 west, 5 miles.
Hopped off I-20 very fast.
Hopped off. Hop back on. 5 miles later, you're back in Ruston.
So you drove with daiquiris in the car.
You did.
Okay.
You did. Lots. I mean, I didn't. But lots of people did.
It was a thing.
It was a thing. Margaritas, daiquiris. There was a place right off the interstate where you could take care of that.
What would be your flavor out of those?
Oh, out of a machine. Now, I'll admit it. And you can call me whatever you want to call me. I love a good frozen margarita.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I much prefer a margarita on the rocks. But if you offer me a frozen margarita, I'm not turning it down. I'm perfectly happy.
I'm intrigued by the peach for some reason. Might be a little too sweet.
Yeah, I'm just not a peach guy.
Really?
Yeah. I like lime daiquiris. Like frozen ones with just the rum and the sweet and sour.
Yeah.
I'm good. Make that happen. Grape is interesting.
Because you're a grape guy.
I like grape a lot.
Okay.
I'm interested in a grape daiquiri enough to try it. I'll try it with the...
Well, you'll try any of them.
Yeah. Well, I won't try peach.
Okay.
I'm anti-peach.
Watermelon?
You know, I'll admit that I'm
weird.
You
don't like watermelon.
I don't like the taste of watermelon.
Well, now, artificial watermelon is not watermelon, however.
I don't like either.
It's kind of like how they assign flavors to things, even though it's nothing like that flavor. Like,
right.
You know, if you get something artificially grape, it's nowhere. I mean, there's no way to emulate grape. So
right. It doesn't taste like a grape.
No, right. Not even a little bit. What do they do the best at, artificial flavoring-wise?
Strawberry, maybe?
That's not bad, yeah. Maybe cherry. Strawberry. Cherry is such a recognizable artificial flavor that I think that skews our thoughts a little bit on
could
that.
Be.
The
could
worst be. Ones are probably grape and banana. And I know you hate banana, but
yeah.
Artificial banana is a weird taste.
They do a pretty good job of simulating lemon.
Okay.
Lime.
Just make it sour as all hell,
yeah.
And see what happens. What happens there.
But I'm pleased. It's like it's almost like Louisiana's coming back for me.
Okay.
Without me having to put stuff in boxes.
Well, to get to the Oxford Exxon, pick up your daiquiri. If you had to get to Grambling, need a vehicle, and we're coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are, if you want to get a vehicle and drive to Grambling, which would be an odd decision to make, but hey, It's a free country. Call 662-257-1900. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what new Ford you're looking for. He will send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. It's right to the bottom line. No haggling. Just great deals at Clark Ford in Amory. When you get your quote, you can shop it around, or you can let Corey and the people at Clark Ford do for you what they've done for so many listeners of this podcast, and that's take the hassle out of the everyday car buying experience. At the end of your deal, tell Corey, hey, I heard about the dealership on the podcast. You can mention this podcast. You can mention the Beer Garden podcast. I'm taping a Beer Garden tonight with Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com. Taping a Beer Garden tomorrow with John Hamm of the franchise in Oklahoma City. So if you like the NFL or you like the NBA, we'll have a Beer Garden for you here in the next couple of days. Mention either one of those podcasts, those $500 off. The bottom line from Clark Ford in Amory. Again, that number is 662-257-1900.
You know, you get all those videos, pictures of snakes. How many times have you been, I know I'm one of the culprits, been bombarded with the woman with the boa constrictor in the last few days?
The link to that story, 100.
Have you listened to the audio?
No.
Put your headphones on. Let's check this out. She calls 911. A lady in Ohio, maybe, is where this came from.
Why are you doing this to me? You know I'm going to have nightmares now.
All right.
You're ruining a night's sleep.
Audio has been released of a terrified woman asking for help. She called 911 in Ohio, the emergency services, because she had a boa constrictor attached to her face, and it would not come off. So here,
with its teeth in her, right?
That was my interpretation.
Oh, my God.
So here's the call.
I have a boa constrictor stuck to my face.
Ma'am, you have a what?
Boa constrictor. I'm outside with it.
You're outside with a boa constrictor stuck to your face?
Yes.
Okay.
I just rescued it yesterday, please.
You arrested the boa constrictor yesterday?
I rescued it.
You rescued it. Okay. Ma'am, I've notified the ambulance. Is the...
Ma'am,
I've notified the ambulance and the fire and the police department. So the boa constrictor has a hold of your nose?
Yes.
Can you pry its jaw open if you pick
its
jaw?
No, I'm trying. There's blood everywhere.
Oh, my God. Why would you rescue a boa constrictor?
Okay, a couple different things here.
Let it die.
A couple different things here. She had 11 snakes in her house. Two, I think, were rescued. I think the other ones she just bought at the pet store or whatever. Okay. Emergency services had to cut the snake's head off to get her free while it was attached to her nose. And she's outside with it. So I have two questions for you as we play this forward, okay? One, how would you like to have been the poor paramedic that has to chop a snake's head off while it is attached to the woman's nose first?
Those people don't make enough money.
You don't know what you're running into, and you get snake you have to chop all in pieces because it's attached to a woman.
I mean, they literally had to cut it.
Had to cut its head off to get it to release.
I wonder what
release.
You used to cut it off in that scenario.
Some type of knife.
And just start slicing.
I don't know.
And so there's human blood and snake blood everywhere.
Yeah. That's A. Maybe the better question.
I mean, I hope that at the end of that shift, somebody bought that guy a big bottle and said, here, it's on us. You're off the next couple of days. Hand me your keys. We're going to drive you home, get you safe, and then we're going to pour the first couple for you because my hands would be...
We'll bring you some food later.
Yeah, we're going to take care of you.
Okay, that's A. B, test your level humanitarian. What if you're driving down the street and the woman's outside on phone with 911 with a boa constrictor attached to her nose? Do you stop? What do you do?
I would have to stop.
And try to help?
I would try to help.
Or just call 911.
Well, I would do that and say, where are you specifically?
Can I come give you an escort, please?
And then I would be the one that at the end of it would say, can someone take my keys and take me to a liquor store and then take me home and come check on me in 24 hours? Please, thank you.
When you have 11 in your house, aren't you kind of asking for it? Isn't there a certain level of Darwinism here?
You know, number one, when you have one in your house.
But 11.
You're asking.
And I'm sure she's some semblance of an expert with snakes, otherwise you wouldn't have 11 snakes.
So when you have one in your house, you're asking for it. With each one that you add, you're adding exponentially to what you're asking.
It's not
for.
Just doubling. It's going crazy.
It's going. It's doing math like advanced. Like, you know,
the exponents. Yes.
Yeah. Having three, you might as well have nine. If you have nine, you might as well have 81.
Yeah.
What was the other part of your question?
I don't know.
Darwinism. Yes, there is. Everybody gets mad at me when I say this. There is Darwinism. We're not all created equally. And some people have something missing upstairs. And you can't really help those people.
Really wasn't the snake's fault.
Well, the snake was probably doing what the snake's bred to do.
Sense a threat and act on it.
Yeah, the humans playing with the snake. Snakes don't play. They eat. The snake thought it was being attacked by the stupid human.
I mean, a boa constrictor is one of the more popular snakes to be kept in captivity and as pets and that kind of thing.
But. Not in my world. They look frightening to
me. I think
it
was 5.5 feet, if I got it correct. Thank God I haven't seen photos or anything.
I was getting ready to say, please tell me there are no photos.
I have not seen a photo.
You're not going to show me photos, are you?
I don't have them.
Oh, thank God.
If I did, I would. I don't. All the news stories that I see just have generic boa constrictor pictures in the story. I can show you one of those, but that's
no,
all
no, no.
I got.
I'm good. What is her situation now? Do we know? Has anyone?
I mean, I'm assuming she's fine. A boa constrictor, they strangle you and then eat you. So I wouldn't. I mean, I don't think they're venomous.
No, they're not venomous. Yeah. But I would think the teeth are large.
The fangs or whatever.
I would guess.
Yeah.
This is where we in the news business don't do a very good job. Hell of a big story right off the bat, and no follow up at all. She all right?
24-hour cycle. It's over.
Oh, yeah. Next.
Snake's dead. Move on.
Next, yeah. God help us.
I just wanted to lead with that. We hadn't mentioned it. Now, we talk about snakes so much, and we don't mention it when the snake is attached to a person's face.
My brother Ryan sends me stuff of snakes all the time because I know he loves knowing that he's ruining my afternoon. There was one about some little girl in some city in Asia, I guess, and a cobra is loose on the streets. And she wrangles the cobra.
Really?
Yeah, gets it in a can, but I can't watch it. Like, I'm like 3 seconds.
It's like, how crazy are those where they, like, when in Africa or wherever they are, where the dude's in the cobra pits cleaning it, and he's literally just grabbing cobras and throwing them all over the place?
Yeah, no, and they're all hissed up and stuff.
And he's just walking through them, whatever.
I mean, I just couldn't do it. I'll freely admit I'm so terrified of a. If you put two grass snakes in here, I'm climbing on top of furniture, thinking about breaking a window to get out. Absolutely terrified.
I give the dispatcher credit. She did not make as much. She handled that situation more professionally than some people would have.
The good dispatchers are amazing at the stuff that they hear, and they just
don't react to it in that way.
Just be numb to whatever. Man, did you say there's a boa constrictor on your face? The snake is on your nose. Okay, well, ma'am, I'm calling. It's just like, wow. I'd be like, are you crazy? I guess that's not the point. That's not the time to ask.
Okay, this is interesting. This is from the Washington Post. Last thing on this story. They had a story on this. It says the woman may have been in more danger than she or the dispatchers thought at the time. A 2015 study showed that boa constrictors don't actually suffocate their prey. Their squeezing cuts off the unwitting victim's blood flow, stopping oxygen from getting to the brain. Victims quickly lose consciousness, then die. The scientists documented the snake-inducing circulatory arrest and perhaps the creepiest science experiment YouTube ever on YouTube. I have that video, too, if you'd like to watch it, about boa constrictors and how they actually kill their prey.
That's okay.
You good?
I'm fine.
I mean, the Washington Post did call it potentially the creepiest video on YouTube, so...
Yeah,
all right, so anyway, he says, such intricacies were probably far from the woman's mind as she pressed the dispatcher to hurry. Near the end of the recording, she went silent for a while, but then sirens could be heard growing louder and getting closer. Sheffield Lake Fire Chief told the Chronicle Telegram what the responders found when they reached her. It was wrapped around her neck and biting her nose and wouldn't let go. They had to cut its head off with a knife to get it to let go of her face. While it appeared to be the first snake attack of this magnitude in Sheffield Lake, such dangerous interactions are not uncommon, according blah, 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 blah. There have been more than 471 attacks by snakes between 95 and 2013. The numbers are probably higher, though, as many incidents are unreported and not factored in. So it was actually around her neck as well and probably about to try to cut off her blood flow to her brain.
It was trying to kill her. It was trying to kill her. Why do you want a snake in your house? Why, when people get a snake as a pet, why? Why? Get a Labrador Retriever. Get a Golden Retriever. If you want something kind of territorial, get a German Shepherd and then get a vacuum cleaner. But get a German Shepherd.
If you really want to live dangerously, go get a Rottweiler. He'll be fine if you train him well.
Yeah, and you got to put a sign up and stuff. But why?
A little more insurance issues with the Rottweiler.
If you just want a pet.
You don't have to put signs up with snakes, though. You do with a Rottweiler. You don't with a snake.
Yeah, and I'm sorry. If you have a snake in your house, I'm not coming over. Ever.
Would have been a deal breaker on relationships, wouldn't it have?
The end. Could have been the most gorgeous woman on the face of the planet.
All a reporter found at the scene were the remnants of what had transpired. An empty glass cage on the sidewalk and a small puddle of blood in the driveway. And neighbors who were putting for sale signs out everywhere.
Yeah. Neighbors got questions.
Property values decreasing in this neighborhood in Ohio. Oh, that's where the snake went. No, I'm good.
I'm not moving there.
Even be worried about buying her house that one got loose and wasn't found or something.
Sure. Or that two got loose and did some reproduction.
Suddenly you got 8 or 10. Like their house.
When snakes make babies, do they make like a collection of babies, or they don't have like one baby at a time, right? They have multiple babies like a dogs do. Like they have a litter.
Googling snake litter this morning, something I was not anticipating when I got up. How many snakes are born at a time, according to animals.something? While most snakes reproduce by laying eggs, live-bearing strategies involve blah, blah, blah. First glance, birds can like laying average snakes. They're largely dozens of small babies. And then there are also some that contain few. So from few to dozens. Depending on species or whatever.
Dozens. Get a Labrador Retriever.
Like, I think this is some of the babies.
No, stop it. Don't do that to me.
Showing the mama snake with many many offspring surrounding her.
God,
here this
man.
Morning.
I did nothing to you to deserve this morning.
Well, you blame me for a thread deletion this morning that I had no...
did you not delete it?
No. What was it?
Breast.
Oh, that was another one of those?
Yes.
Okay. No, I did not see it or delete it.
They were nice.
I was unaware of that.
Yeah.
Well, we'll talk a little football the rest of the podcast. Just had to talk some snakes this morning. That was got that out of the way. So before we go to Hugh Kellenberger, we'll tell you about MasterCuts. You know, if you got a really high grass, snakes kind of populate in those areas, so I'd really recommend MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape. They'd probably even kill a snake for you if it was out in your yard and they saw it when they were out. So Tupelo, surrounding areas, Oxford, North Mississippi. No job too large or small for MasterCuts. Services include landscape design, installation, landscape lighting, irrigation, maintenance, and turf. They do holiday lighting during the holiday season. So give them a call at 662-607-7773 for a free quote. Also, MasterCutsLawn.com. If you need a mosquito spray, they hook you up with that. Mosquito beaters, same number for that as well. And when you sign an annual contract, you mention the podcast, First Cut on them.
Podcast also brought to you by Journey Business Solutions. Currently, Ben Brown and his team are looking to hire part-time and full-time sales team members across Texas and the Southeast to join them. They offer extensive training, support, and the best products and pricing in the industry. Whether you're looking to supplement your current income or find a better career opportunity, email Ben at benbrown@journeybizsolutions.com. They are looking for motivated individuals with some sales experience, a business degree, or are close to completing their business degree who have a passion to serve small business owners. They have an exceptional uncapped commission structure and are an equal opportunity employer. Email Ben today. The podcast also brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based RE/MAX Legacy Realty agent. He's been in Oxford more than four decades. No one knows the residential and condo market better than he. Go to his sites, harryalexander.com. Click on the Properties and Neighborhoods tab. Filter through by what you're looking for. Then send him an email, ha@harryalexander.com. The podcast also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, look no further than Grenada Nissan. It's just off Interstate 55. In lovely Grenada, Mississippi. They have a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissans, great lease deals, fantastic service after the sale. I've done business with Grenada Nissan for a long time. I can't recommend them highly enough. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. And the podcast is brought to you by Captain John Fryer and Tuna Chaser Charters in Biloxi. John handles inshore and offshore fishing expeditions from 4 to 12 hours. John knows where to put you on the fish that you want to catch. This time of the year, it's snapper and cobia that are the most popular trips to take. The snapper season in Mississippi waters runs through Labor Day. Another popular trip for visitors that don't have as much time is the inshore trips for speckled trout and triple tail. You can reach John through his website, tunachasacharters.com. That's TUNACHASA charters.com. His Facebook page, or you can call John 228-348-7817.
Now, Hugh Kellenberger on the Rebel Locker Room Hotline. Hugh, thanks for a few minutes this morning. Just kind of scattershoot around a little bit. You're headed up to Oxford today for Media Day this afternoon. What do you, I mean, in all seriousness, I mean, with everything going on around this program, they're going to try to focus on season and normalcy, but that's impossible today. What are you looking for and what do you expect?
I think it's what I expect is probably the first thing I'll answer is that I expect to hear a lot of, you know, it's us against the world. Nobody believes in us, but we believe in ourselves. You know, I think Ole Miss started that drumbeat last week with, you know, that video they put out where Matt Luke says he's not planning on going to him anywhere. I think that is the message, is that we are here and we're going to continue to try to do the very best we can and win as many games as we can this season, no matter what is going on outside of the program. But what I'm looking for, I guess, is the conviction in that and, you know, how forcefully are they saying it, how aggressively are they saying it, and also their body language. You know, it'd be very easy to drag through this. You know, you go back to, you know, Arkansas at SEC Media Days a few years ago after all the Bobby Petrino stuff, and a couple of those guys were just dragging their way through. Just, they're saying all the right things, but you could tell their heart just wasn't in it, and that was kind of when you knew this was not going to go well for them. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking for today.
I've always thought about Matt that he's a pretty good offensive line coach, maybe a really good offensive line coach. He's always been decent with media. And when I say decent, I mean when we request him, he comes. We ask questions, we get answers. I've never thought it was something that he particularly enjoyed doing, and there are always coaches that enjoy the media stuff. They like it, you can tell. They know that they're getting some attention and that attention for their careers is good. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way. I just mean it literally. I've never sensed Matt was one of those guys. How do you think he'll handle media over the course of a year? Not just us, but teleconferences, post-game stuff. There's going to be questions that are going to rub him the wrong way. And in the past, he's always been pretty transparent. I'll give you an example, Hugh. Last year, late in the season, I asked him just point blank. We were talking about the lack of a running game, and I said,
"Yeah,
do you have the talent at running back for it to matter?" And he didn't like the question.
Yeah,
his eyes flared. He got angry. Now he didn't lash out, but he didn't like it.
Right, you could tell.
Yeah, and when you're a head coach and you get all these kinds of questions, you're going to get those routinely. And how do you think he'll handle some of that as the season goes along?
I think you're right. I don't think Matt has ever been a guy that really enjoyed the media part of it and didn't really, like, speak it out. I think he will try as best he can to be relentlessly optimistic, because that was always kind of Matt's thing, right? Was like, even like the first couple of years when they weren't his recruits and he was trying to have an offensive line that was built to run for Mike Markison, Houston Nutt's power scheme, and they were being asked to do hurry up and huddle. And Matt never once said, like, fellas, what do you want from me? They're not those linemen, and I don't know what to do, but, like, I'm trying the best I can here. He always tried to focus on, we got to get better, we got to find guys who can do this, and we'll continue. I'll do the best I can with the guys that I have. Always the thing he did. And I think that we're going to hear a similar message throughout this season, and it will fall back on that. You know, if you're Ole Miss media relations, you have to teach them stuff like that. You have to teach them how to pivot like a politician. When you don't like the question, this is how you pivot to what you want, what message you want to get out there. You know, you don't have to answer the question asked all the time if you don't find it to be fair, or you know, especially if it's something like a teleconference or something like that, where someone in, you know, Georgia, you know, decides to take a shot. Like, you have to be able to just, like, put it down because it's a teleconference. And, you know, the SEC is right there to make sure that, you know, the next guy's going to ask a question real quickly that will probably be favorable.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Kind of switch it over a little bit. Antonio, a very detailed story yesterday about Houston Nutt, the ongoing saga that is that lawsuit. What do you kind of make of that at this point?
I always took it as something that was going to come and go very, at least when it first happened. This is something that's going to come and go very quickly. He filed a lawsuit, and it's going to make it go away. I was really, really wrong, because yeah. I don't think it's going away. Like, right, that's the difference, right? Like, the Rebel Rack lawsuit feels like one of those lawsuits that's going to be, like, still a lawsuit in 10 years, because, like, neither side does anything with it, and they just kind of go, you know, they pass some briefs back and forth, like the, you know, the Kim Dichie civil suit, or I guess technically Jackie Sherrill's.
Yeah, because say Ole Miss's version of Sherrill. Yeah, it's still bouncing around.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't that, and I mean, which is really, like, really interesting, because I really would think that from an Ole Miss perspective, the best thing possible is to get Thomas Mars to stop worrying about Ole Miss. And, you know, they released the statement to us yesterday that said, we don't think this lawsuit has any merit. And whether or not you think that lawsuit has any merit or not, I think right now is beyond the point. The point is that you got a guy who's a really good lawyer who, you know, has decided to just point all his guns at you, and you got to worry about what's next. What else does he get?
What do you think is next?
That Yuma burner phone?
But by definition, a burner phone has no records attached, right? If we're using the correct noun,
is it right. Is it an unauthorized phone as opposed to a burner phone? Meaning that, I mean, I can go out and get the nicest iPhone 7S, and if I don't register it to the NCAA as my recruiting phone, it's, I guess someone could call it a burner phone, but it's not a burner phone in that, like, I go to.
You're not going and buying the one with cash and the prepaid and picking your number out.
Right. I'm not going to Walmart and getting a burner.
Right. You're not buying the phone that you can throw into the dumpster like in the movies.
I've got so many questions and I can't find anyone to answer them. Now, I do think, I'll be honest, I do think that Ole Miss, and for that matter, every other coaching staff in America, does get those burner prepaid phones so that you can make the unallowed calls to recruits. I do believe that. But those wouldn't be the records of Yuma, Arizona or whatnot, right? Isn't that how that works? And I'm not guiding you here. I'm asking because I don't know.
Right. I don't. I mean, that's the thing. That's what we don't know. I could go, for a long time when I was in Oxford, I had a number that was registered in Bloomington, Indiana, because I didn't change my cell phone number. You can live in one place and have a phone registered to another place.
Oh, sure.
I'm with you. There are a lot of questions. Thomas Marr so far has proven, though, to be pretty good at answering questions.
Well, and he has perception nationally on his side. So even if he brings it up and it's absolutely nothing and there's nothing to it, he still gets to play it around with the media and put pressure on Ole Miss for a little while with it.
Exactly. It's still embarrassing to Ole Miss. Ole Miss is trying to pivot towards the season, and at the same time, this guy is bringing back history. And even if it's all stuff the NCAA looked at in their, when they got the phone records and said, that's nothing, he can still use it.
Yeah.
Your opinion, have we heard the last of what's in Hugh Freeze's phones? And along those lines, why, in your opinion, did Ole Miss readily hand over those first few days, dig on their own to make the decision to fire Hugh Freeze, and now when people want those phone records, they're saying, A, now you got to have to pay for them, and then B, hey, those don't even belong to us. They belong to the foundation. They're not FOI-able. I'm so confused at the lack of consistency there.
I'm with you because I have FOIA'd phone records at Ole Miss before for reporting purposes and was told, those through the foundation, you can't get this. The same way that you can't get the full contract and everything else that they hide through the foundation. And so when Thomas Morris got the phone records, I was a little surprised. And my explanation is that it's different between me sending a FOIA and someone filing a lawsuit and threat of subpoena and everything else. And maybe you make a decision in that moment, okay, we're not going to play this game, and we're going to go ahead and give it to him. Right. I expect Ole Miss is going to have to give up those phone records.
Just one quick clarification. Coaches or administrators that were not Hugh Freeze or before his tenure on your FOIs? I don't need specifics, just in general.
But this is years ago.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
So do you think we're going to end up hearing more Hugh Freeze stuff? More is going to come to light?
Yeah, I think so, because I think Thomas Mars has figured out that the best weapon he has at his disposal is publicly embarrassing Ole Miss. And the best way for him to do that is through those phone records.
Took a break in this interview to tell you about Community Mortgage, located in Oxford, Memphis, Settle County, and Chattanooga. They're 30 years old this year. And all underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting that understands your market, also the leader in condo financing in Oxford. Ask Jason about Community Mortgage's float-down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate, but if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. You can contact Jason at 662-234-2704 or JLO, that's LOWE, at communitymtg.com.
Podcast also brought to you by 7 South Tailgating. 7 South owned and operated by Kyle and Jordan Thornton. 7 South Tailgating, equipped with the largest staff in the Grove, can service most any of your tailgating needs. They offer SEC-only packages, full-season packages, rental packages, or fans can provide all of their own gear, and 7 South will set it up for you. 7 South offers complete setup, game day concierge, post-game trash removal, equipment breakdown, year-round storage, and more. They'll set you up in the Grove, the Circle, or on the outskirts of campus. It's the largest vendor in the Grove, yet they still manage to know each customer personally by name. 7 South typically sells out for every game, so visit the site today. Secure your spot. If you give 7 South a try for one season, you'll never tailgate without them again. The site is 7southtailgating.com, or you can reach them by cell 662-321-1682. The podcast is also brought to you by Comer Heating and Air. Comer Heating and Air has been serving Oxford and the surrounding area for the past 26 years. I've used Comer for AC repair. You can take my word for it. Their attention to detail, their customer service, and their work is second to none. Comer is an American standard dealer, but they work on any maker model, residential or commercial. Customers get same-day service, free estimates on new units, and preventative maintenance contracts. Visit their website, comerheatingandair.com, or check out their Facebook page. Mention you heard about them on the podcast, and you get $20 off. Contact Eric at 662-934-3846 or Shane at 662-832-8749. Now back to the show. It does make you wonder what the hell's in them. Because if there's nothing in them other than, you know, you calling a bunch of recruits everywhere like everybody else does, you turn them over, don't you? You're like, yeah, that's where we called that recruit. We called that recruit. We called that recruit. We called that recruit. Called his wife.
Right.
Called the pizza place. I mean, you don't – called Funky's. I mean – did I say that out loud? I'm sorry. That's all. I mean,
you text Funky's. Come on, man. Everybody knows that.
That's all there. I mean, you're not hiding that, right? I mean, I would think you'd.
No,
want, I would think if there was nothing to hide.
At the very least, there was a pattern of personal misconduct in those calls.
And so it's a matter of you're trying to save. If you're Ole Miss, you're trying to avoid him being further embarrassed, I guess.
Or you get embarrassed maybe by the fact that this went on for so long and you never caught it, did anything about it.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I'm surprised at how, and I'm. This is coming across more critically than I mean for it to be, because I don't necessarily not buy Ole Miss's explanation that, hey, we didn't know about this until the suit. We didn't know about this until after media days. That's perfectly plausible to me. I have no evidence at all to disprove that. Maybe you do. I don't.
I don't.
On the flip side, I'm surprised a little bit at how they're almost tone deaf to how many people in their own fan base sort of want an answer. When did you know? What did you do about it? What did you do about all the rumors before? And I understand why they don't want to come out and answer that. But at the same time, I don't want to given what's out there, the you're trying to sell tickets, you're trying to keep people engaged at a time when it would be easy for a fan to go, F it, I'm out. I would think you'd want to kind of get that out there that, look, we knew there were rumors. We dug. We asked questions. We talked to a lot of people. We just couldn't get – I would think you'd want to put that out. And not just sort of be quiet.
I have two lines of thinking on this, they're connected. This all happened because they're being sued by a former coach for disparagement. I would assume that a settlement, something had to be signed between Hugh Freeze and Ole Miss to say, you are resigning as head football coach, and you owe us no money, and we owe you no money. And I would presume there was a non-disparagement clause in that contract. And Ole Miss has learned that those things actually matter, and sometimes you can end up getting sued. So that's one possible explanation, is that they've decided we are just not going to say anything because we don't want to travel down the same path 3, 4, 5 years from now.
And that would be a perfectly plausible explanation, and that would make a lot of sense.
Right. And the other part is, who's Hugh Freeze's agent? Jimmy Sexton. How many other college football coaches does Jimmy Sexton represent?
All of them. All the other ones.
And if Jimmy says, man, you deserved it, but can you not drag his name through the mud, and I'll help you guys out come December. I'll do the best I can for you come December. That's a reason why to do that, too.
Hugh Kellenberger, the voice of reason, yeah, here on the Oxford Exxon podcast. I'm not going to say.
You know, the other part, you know, you said fans leaving, like, it's college sports. Fans don't leave. They go away for a minute, they come back.
Yeah, what else are they going to do?
Season tickets were really down in 2011. Season tickets were really down in 2012. They won some games. They sold out all the season tickets.
Yeah.
Oh, I actually want to ask you about something off Ole Miss for a second. I saw at least your publication, it may have been you specifically, I think it maybe was, talking about Netflix not doing another Last Chance U with East Mississippi, and at least after for season three, what, going to Coffeyville, is that right, in Kansas?
Independence College.
Okay, right, yeah, either way. So, we're all so close to the sausage that when I watch these seasons, they're somewhat entertaining. They're mostly sad. I don't get the shock effect that the guy in Dubuque, Iowa gets for when he turns it on his television that night. And as it's gone on, and especially this season, it almost, to me, has just become a complete and utter negative situation for everybody involved except for maybe East Mississippi's recruiting efforts. I mean, even just the school in general, it just has a weird and negative look to me at this point.
Well, yeah, I think you're right. I don't think it does anything for East Mississippi's image. I think it's bad for all Mississippi junior colleges that that was happening. I've heard that from different people at different junior colleges that said, man, we don't want to be a part of this. This makes us all look bad. Like, Buddy's going to do what Buddy's going to do, but him getting a platform to do that, they have a problem with. I thought the best part of the second season was when they went to Tacoma and they showed what Last Chance U actually looks like.
Yeah.
You know, with a quarterback who wasn't even, like, the quarterback at his high school, really. And, like, they literally have milk and cookies after practice one day.
Yeah, Cahoma is a much better story than EMCC.
Yeah, right. But, like, it's not as entertaining because how long are you going to sit there and watch them, like, get their brains beat in 10 weeks in a row?
I covered Ole Miss football in 2011. I did it for 3 months.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's...
I mean,
and I think my personal opinion is that all reality shows have a very short lifespan because the subject of the reality show learned how to manipulate it. And it's very clear that East Mississippi learned how to manipulate things.
Yeah, it's not full go 24/7.
Right. They were turning off their mics. They were going in the back rooms to have conversations that they didn't want the cameras to hear. Some of those kids were hanging out in Brittany Wagner's room, not to hang out, but to be Netflix stars. You know, and I think the moment that happens, as a director, I would say, all right, it's time for us to move on here.
Just kind of touch on some things that I know people would like to hear your opinion. I would, too. Your opinion, does Leo Lewis go in front of the Committee on Infractions when Ole Miss has its hearing?
Yes.
What does he say?
I don't know what he says. I would think it would have to be pretty close to what he has testified to previously. But I don't think he has much of a choice.
We don't know. We have no idea. The guy with the head of the Chris Mack, I think, is the guy that's over the committee or whatever. Do you anticipate really much interrogation, or do you almost just, hey, you still sticking by your stuff, we got you here, let's make this kind of as quick and simple as possible? Because there's absolutely zero necessity, or not necessity, because maybe we have a different disagreement on that, but they're not obligated to ask him any specific questions or any certain questions or even really reference him at all, even if he's in the room.
Absolutely. Honestly, I don't think there's an answer to that question because the committee is not one person. The committee is a committee. So there could be people on that committee that say, he already testified how many times, I got what I need out of him. And there could be other people that say, well, I got questions.
Yeah.
And some of them could have two questions, and some of them could be really forceful and, you know, go old school Ted Kennedy style on them, you know.
Your opinion, is there a two-year bowl ban, or does the NCAA – thread the needle here and hammer Barney Farrar and Hugh Freeze and sort of let Ole Miss move on, if you will?
My guess right now is Barney Farrar gets hammered to where he's never coaching in college football again. Hugh Freeze gets hammered to the point where it's very doubtful he coaches in college football again. Ole Miss has fairly significant scholarship losses, more than they have right now. But it would not shock me if they didn't get the bowl ban. But it wouldn't shock me if they did get the second-year bowl ban.
Okay,
but I could see, them saying, "We're going to make the people that we think were responsible for this pay."
Yeah,
and also, you know, and the lack of institutional control and what they've determined to do with that, I think, is where everything hedges right now.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I'm a big Occam's razor guy, and there's such an obvious path to some degree of compromise where everyone sort of wins, except for the two people that you wanted to lose. And when I say you, meaning the NCAA, that it's almost difficult for me to imagine they don't take that path. For the sake of the discussion, if it's a two-year bowl ban, what does the job look like? And then if it's just a one-year bowl ban, and like you said, there's scholarship reductions, but, you know, the Matrix prevents the scholarship production from being passed a certain level anyway. So it's scholarship productions that are they hinder but don't cripple. How attractive is the job?
I think it's an attractive job. It's an SEC West job. You know, Arkansas went through not the NCAA stuff, but the Bob Petrino publicly embarrassing fall flat on its face, and they were able to hire Brett Bielema, who had gone to like three straight Rose Bowls. I don't think they're hiring an existing Power 5 coach at Ole Miss right now, but they would certainly, I think, have close to their pick of the group of five guys, whether that's a Willie Fritz or a Scott Satterfield, a Mike Norvell, someone like that, I think, you know, would definitely be interested, because how many SEC jobs are there and how many SEC West jobs are there? And, you know, there'll be some short-term pain, but Ole Miss does have a history of being able to recruit nationally, and it does have a history of being able to, like, perk up and win a little bit. Hasn't been able to do it consistently, but you can convince yourself that you're that guy that's going to fix that part of it. But if the second-year bowl ban comes in, I think the talent pool drops. I think then, you know, you're looking at the retreads. And that's Les Miles. That's the situation. Like, if you want to play this out where Matt Luke becomes a real candidate to be the permanent head coaching job, it's where he manages to navigate this team to a 6-6 finish where everybody feels good about itself. Maybe they win the Egg Bowl. And there's a second-year bowl ban, and you go, Matt may not be the coach here in 10 years, but we feel like he can get us through the next 4 to 5.
He's a caretaker. I mean, whoever it is would be a caretaker.
Exactly. And that's where Mississippi's laws actually help you, because you can only give a 4-year contract. So you go, Matt, man, we can't give you that long-term deal because the state says we can't. But here's that 4-year deal, and good luck. And maybe you'll surprise us, and maybe, you know, we'll keep on going, and this will be great. But if not, it's not like you're hamstrung financially for the next decade.
We hinted at this last night. Antonio Morales has confirmed it on Twitter. I don't think we've ever been less cryptic in kind of what we all sort of put out about Dietrich being Dukes and Ken Webster and the shoplifting arrest. Obviously, it's Matt Luke's first off-the-field challenge. He can't be at all happy that he's got to deal with this today on a day when I'm sure the goal was to be optimistic, optimistic, optimistic. He's going to be asked about two football players going into Walmart and stealing stuff. I guess there's no way to know this. It's just kind of an opinion question. Is he going to be able to keep these guys focused? I mean, when you're potentially a lame duck from the very get-go, how hard is it to get guys to respect you, to play hard for you, that kind of thing?
I think it has to be very hard, especially when they're guys that feel that are on their way out the door anyways, that they're long enough in their tenure at Ole Miss that they're like, hey, man, this is my last year, and I didn't sign up for any of this. I got nowhere else to go. I'm going to try to make the best of it, but I'm not listening to you. Those guys exist in that room. They exist in every college football locker room. Coach talked about buy-in. Matt has a really hard job on his hands getting those kids bought in. I think it's why Wesley McGriff is so so important, because it's difficult if you're Matt to connect to those defensive guys. The offensive guys know Matt Luke. A lot of those guys will go like, I really like Coach Luke. I didn't think he'd be my head coach, but I like the guy. I'm gonna play hard for him. But the defensive guys, he's just another guy. There's in that building. You know, you don't have conversations with, you know, the defense, you know, offensive coaches and defensive players. Like, so I think that's where Wes becomes really important, because Wes has to keep that group together. And I mean, yeah, like, you know, shoplifting is, you know, it's a misdemeanor. It, you know, so, you know, let's not act like they, you know, guns or something really serious. But yeah, on a day where he was hoping to talk about football, the first thing he's going to have to talk about is two guys that were supposed to be leaders and key players on that defense doing something stupid the day before training camp.
And not just McGriff, and you may mention this, you kind of cut out a little bit, but the whole side of the ball coaching staff except for Jason Jones. Like, there's nobody they know over there since before maybe the spring.
Right, right. There's no – right. They're trying to build in relationships. I mean, it's you know, chaos is probably too strong a word, but there is such a thing as having too much transition.
Yeah.
I'm stealing this off our message board, but you do know there is a rule about stealing candles.
What's that?
If they weren't lit, you must have quit. Yeah. Thank you, North Tampa Rebel. That was very good.
You got to have some humor in these situations.
You absolutely have to have humor. That was pretty funny. Kudos to North Tampa Rebel. I giggled.
Yeah. I don't know who it was, but Antonio screenshotted it and sent it to me, the guy that said that he really thought Bing Dukes and Webster could steal a game or two for the defense this year.
Yeah, let me actually find this. This is so good. Hold on. If you're not a message board person, you'll at least get this if you decide to subscribe. This comes from a Fat Guy Touchdown. And, yeah, he was mentioning Webster and Bing Dukes being key players, and then his sentence was, "I don't know what's in store, but those two could help lift the defense and maybe help steal us a possession or two. That can make the difference in the game." Quality stuff there. That's pretty good.
It's good.
Oh, gosh.
That's good message boarding.
It is. It's great message boarding. All right, Hugh, last thing. We'll let you go. Appreciate it. We'll see you in a little while, obviously. In Starkville, what's the main storyline or two for the fall? Because I've been so hung up here, I have no idea.
Man, it's Mississippi State training camp. they are the best in the SEC at having, like, no, like, what's going to happen. Like, everything is just, they know who their starters are, and they're just going through training camp. They know who their quarterback is. There's a couple of questions on defense, but they're not so, like, you know, it's not an oh god situation. It's more of a, like, there's four or five guys, and which two are going to end up being the starters, and are those two guys going to be any good? But yeah, I mean, it's Mississippi State. They kind of do boring well. Like, boring is good sometimes, and they do good boring well.
Yeah, that's fair. Huh. Well, all right. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you in a little bit.
All right. Sounds good.
Our thanks to Hugh Kellenberger for joining us on the program. The podcast is also brought to you by Oxford University Bank, OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB gives you all the comfort of home, all the benefits the big mega banks provide, all the technology and products you want, but with the personal touch. OUB right now offering one-year CDs at 1.75% annual percentage yield, three-year triple option CDs paying 2.01% APY. With the three-year term, customers can deposit once during the term, withdraw once during the term, and or bump the rate if OUB's three-year rate rises. To learn more about OUB, check out liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured. The podcast also brought to you by Michael Oswalt. If you're looking to buy or sell land anywhere in Mississippi, give Michael a call. He's a realtor, specializes in recreational and timberland tracts across the state of Mississippi. He works with Tom Smith Land and Homes. It's by far the largest broker of land in Mississippi. Look him up, gotland.com. You can read his recent testimonials, check out his track record, look online and see the types of properties he currently has listed. Just know this, the land market's very hot right now. If you're on the fence about selling your land, your hunting club share, or your home with acreage, now's the time. Give Michael a call today. He's ready to meet with you, explain the process. If he can't earn your business in that meeting, he says he doesn't deserve it. 662-719-3967 is his number, or you can visit his Facebook page or send him an email, michael@tomsmithland.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Right Way Meds, located in Holly Springs, such a typical pharmacy. They deliver your medicine to you, so when you check them out, don't have to worry about the trips to the pharmacy. Don't have to worry about any of that, including sorting that medication where it comes in strip packets. Tear the first dose of the day, next dose ready when you are. So rightwaymeds.com to find out more about that. Or if you're a doctor or medical provider, they can help with your compliance numbers. Give them a look. Again, online at rightwaymeds.com. So this morning, right after the opening bell, the stock market has gone over 22,000 for the first time now. Took 154 days, I think I saw, to go from 21 to 22, versus 6 years to go from 14 to 15 back during the plunge between 2007 and 2009. Apple, part of the reason for that today. Here's a stat for you.
Okay.
Apple has a cash balance of $261.5 billion. That's enough to buy every single team in the NFL, NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball.
That's a lot of cash.
On hand, a decent amount of cash.
Yeah, yeah, sure, order the extra pizza, why not?
Got a 20 for petty cash? Yeah,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah, we do. What do you need?
Yeah. If you're going to embezzle, that's a good company to start.
You could take a couple billion from them and no one would notice.
Wow. Just nuts. I don't know. Just the overall thing. I mean, not to get political whatsoever today, but the overall thing of the market just continuing to rise and rise and rise is fascinating.
Why is that? Is that just...
It's less regulation, right?
I mean, the stock market...
I mean, I'm not an economist by any stretch of the imagination.
The stock market likes Trump.
Well, yeah, that is a fact for sure. Court date for Webster and Bing Duke set for September 16th.
That's Monday after Cal, is that right?
Is it?
I don't know. Sounds right.
Is it all running together on you a little bit?
It totally is, man. It's just...
Why?
I don't know. This is... We got a lot on our plate this fall. NCAA, coaching search... A football season, the Houston Nut thing. There's a lot going on.
Steph Curry playing in the web.com event this week and somewhere. TPC Stonebray, a Bay Area country club course in Hayward, California.
Did you see where...
It's a 2 handicap.
I forgot the NBA, right? It's one of the really good NBA writers. How am I forgetting this? Lee
Jenkins.
Jenkins, thank you.
He broke the LeBron story, right?
See what he said about LeBron yesterday?
Yeah, I did. I saw you having a mild panic attack.
Leaving Cleveland, which everyone expects, but he said don't buy the Los Angeles stuff. He's not obsessed with market. He's obsessed with winning, and he named two teams as possibilities.
San Antonio.
And Oklahoma City.
Yeah. You could probably grow to love LeBron.
I could develop a love for LeBron in about a millisecond. As fast as I could develop a hate for a boa constrictor, I could develop love for...
It wouldn't take a little while to get over the past pain?
Nope. I'm over it. It'd be like if Clayton Kershaw joined the Cubs. Love. Instant. Did you see Max Scherzer get hurt last night?
I did. The Nationals, with that record, even with their list of injuries, is phenomenal.
You take Scherzer off their team, and they're not – I mean, I realize, duh. But you take Scherzer off their team, and they're not anywhere near as threatening in a playoff series. He is what makes them threatening in a playoff series because he goes game one and game five. You're going to probably have to beat him once. You take him off, they're not threatening anymore. I mean, they're still really good because Bryce Harper and Zimmerman and, I mean, I'm not belittling their club by any stretch, but Scherzer is what makes them scary because their bullpen's not particularly good. Cubs now 14-3 since the break.
Oh, they're going to win the division by 10 games.
Anthony Rizzo says the feeling's back.
Yeah, they're fine.
Oh, I'm not talking about the division. I'm talking about in a playoff series.
No, I know.
A Cubs National Series. If Scherzer's not 100%. Now, that being said, the Cubs, like Lester, hit a home run last night, did not pitch particularly well.
Yeah, I saw that they won big, but it was a lot of bullpen effort there.
Won 16-4, hit a bunch of home runs, but Arizona, a lot of foul balls, a lot of deep counts. Lester only got through 4+. He was mad at himself.
Really just thoughts with as we close the podcast here. This has gotten a lot of media attention, and Neil and I were actually talking about this a couple days ago with something else. Whatever can be a catalyst for being better in whatever way it is fine, whether it's publicity, placebos, whatnot. I'm not talking about just weight or anything else. Jared Lorenzen doing this reality project to lose weight, whatever helps, because looking at pictures of him, sad and scary are the two words that come to mind. He's a guy that when you see him in Kentucky photos, New York Giants photos as Eli's backup, I mean, clearly he was bigger than your average quarterback, but he was not big by any stretch for the average person.
280-ish.
Yeah, but tall, muscular.
Yeah.
He now weighs over 500 pounds.
Wow.
Just remarkable. I don't really know what to say about it as I'm looking at pictures and different things here. So,
I would guess, as someone who has battled weight throughout life, that when you give up on it for a little while and you just let it go, I mean, and when I say let it go, I mean really let it go, and the weight starts to pile up, I would think the surrender to that would be pretty easy. Kudos to him for at least putting it out there publicly and forcing himself to address it.
He says, right now, if I didn't wake up tomorrow, it wouldn't be a shock to many people, Lorenzen, 36, said. I'm reading from the New York Post. Lorenzen was last seen on the field for the Northern Kentucky River Monsters, an indoor team in 2014, then listed at 320, but that was only an estimate. In the video, Lorenzen said he hadn't stepped on a scale since leaving the Colts, but his career ended with a gruesome injury. When I came back to play, I looked terrible. I can remember rolling out to my left and seeing the guy coming for me and telling my body, get down, get down, get down, throw it away and get down. But me being big, I didn't have the reactionary time. I couldn't get down before he hit me and shattered my ankle, Lorenzen said in the video. My first thought is, how are they going to get me off this field? What are they going to do, have to get four people, linemen, to carry me? I'm like, what the heck are you doing? So Lorenzen now trying to inspire people and fight his own weight loss demons through this project. So anyway, again, Matt Luke, 3 o'clock today. Have things for you after. Check rebelgrove.com. A lot of news just in some threads and some message board activity this morning. Ole Miss hired a new strength coach yesterday to replace Ben Fleming for baseball. Zach Boone, he was previously with Florida baseball and softball and then at Illinois. So he is the replacement for Ben Fleming. That's all I got. I don't know. We'll worry about that in coming days. So for Neil, for Hugh Kellenberger joining us today, I'm Chase. We'll talk to you tomorrow.